You may be seated.
I want to invite you to turn with me to James chapter 3.
Not all wisdom is created equal. It's not all the same. James has been doing this again and again throughout his books. He's pointed out that there's two types of trials. There's those that come from God that test your faith, and there are those that come from ourselves, which are really temptations. He said there's two types of religion, that which is valuable and that which is worthless. He's spoken of two kinds of faith, living faith and dead faith. In each case, there's a true form, and then there's a worthless counterfeit. And at the end of James chapter 3, there are two kinds of wisdom that we need to consider together this morning. James wants us to be able to tell them apart. I have a friend who, when he was young, well, he still is, but he's a very intelligent man. He's driven. But when he was young, rather than going to work every day, he thought that seemed kind of foolish. He thought it made more sense to find a way to cheat the system. And so he spent a lot of time studying and researching, and then he began to simply print his own money. He was a counterfeiter, and he was pretty good at it as well. He had a worldly wisdom that said, I should use my smarts to do whatever's easiest and most convenient here. So he just printed money and began to spend it, and it made perfect sense to him until finally, of course, he got caught. He was arrested. He was sent to prison for many years, and it was there that he finally began to realize that what he had before was a false wisdom. Finally, God brought about real repentance in his heart. He turned his life around. The Bible teaches that we have three enemies: the world, our flesh, and the devil. And these three, they conspire against us. And one of the traps that the world, the flesh, and the devil lays for us is that of false wisdom, that which looks to be wise. My counterfeiting friend, he had bought into counterfeit wisdom. But true wisdom comes from above. False wisdom comes from below. There is a heavenly wisdom that God gives. And then there's another wisdom, a man-made wisdom that's actually opposed to God. King Saul thought it was wise to put David in armor to go out and fight Goliath. And yet the Lord, he had other plans. The disciples thought it was wise to send away the crowds to let them find their own food. And yet the Lord took some bread and some fish and he fed the multitude. The world around us thinks that it's wise to store up for ourselves treasures on this earth. But Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. The wisdom from above is far better. Biblical wisdom is exceedingly valuable. We see this throughout the scripture. So, for example, here's Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So it's valuable. Or Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, for she will keep you. Love her, for she will guard you. So wisdom is thought of as valuable. It's thought of as something that gives us protection. Here's what Paul writes in Romans 11. Oh, the depths and the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. He's simply praising the Lord, but note that he praises God for his wisdom that's unequaled. There's none like him. And the wisdom of God is actually available to us. James wants his readers to have true wisdom, the wisdom from above. He doesn't want us to think that we have wisdom when in fact we have its opposite. James points us to a dichotomy, a contrast. He's giving us a true or false exam, and he wants each one of us to be able to pass the test. He wants us to be able to recognize counterfeit, phony wisdom. The passage of scripture we're going to look at is James chapter 3, verses 13 and following. Let me invite you to listen as I follow along, or as I read it. This is the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, wise, inerrant, and infallible word. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. The question that introduces this passage is really a challenge. Did you notice it? Look at verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. He's saying, if you're wise, demonstrate it with true wisdom. If you really have this understanding, prove it. Not just in what you say, but in what you do, by how you live. Now, this passage of scripture breaks easily into two big sections. So first, in verses 14 through 16, he describes this worldly wisdom, which indeed is really just folly. And then he describes a heavenly wisdom in verses 17 through 18. This is the wisdom that you and I need. There at the end of verse 13, he tells us that we are to live in the meekness of wisdom. That's an interesting phrase, the meekness of wisdom. Meekness is the right use of power. And wisdom is the right use of knowledge. They intend to go together, the meekness of wisdom. The truly wise person will show in his daily life, in his conversations and his behavior, that he is indeed a child of God. This is one of the themes that James has been harping on again and again, that what we believe should flow out in our actions. But here what's to be seen is meekness. Now, meekness is one of those words that's often misused, misunderstood. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. The word in the original language was a word that was used to describe wild horses that have been broken and they made useful to their owner. For believers, this meekness, this gentleness is a willingness to live under the sovereign control of God. Christians are those who have become submissive, tame, humble before the Lord. You know, just a few verses earlier, we saw last week how none of us, no human can tame the tongue. And yet here, the truly wise person is one who has been tamed by God, made useful to him. But before he describes more of this heavenly wisdom, first he shows what it's not. He describes wisdom's counterfeit. What type of wisdom, or so-called wisdom, produces jealousy and selfish ambition? Well, he tells us here in verse 14, look there with me. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. This is worldly wisdom. We understand worldly wisdom. We see it all the time. Everyone's trying to get ahead. They're trying to hold on to their position. They're trying to get a little bit more. I remember having a conversation with a woman once, and she was describing her life, her career, and she said, I know how to play the game. I know what I need to do to manipulate the situation so that I look good and others look bad. That way I'm the one who gets the better treatment. I get the promotion. I've watched the others. I envy those who get ahead, and I'm following in their steps. She was convinced that it was fine to mistreat and manipulate people to get what she wants. In fact, she almost was waiting for me to give her a pat on the back. Like, look how wise I am. Those fools who didn't cheat and lie. I was the wise one. See how I'm moving along? Her wisdom made sense to her, but it was wrong. There in verse 14, James is contrasting jealousy, selfishness, ambition, boasting, falsehood. He's contrasting all of that with real wisdom. Now, in competitive work, these things are thought of as normal. Boasting is how you get noticed. It's those with ambition. Those are the ones that get promoted. Just think with me. Are there aspects of your job that you feel like you can only do if you ignore what these verses are teaching? Where does this false wisdom come from? Oh, we're told in verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Note those characteristics of this phony wisdom. It's earthly, that is, it's of the world. It's unspiritual, or literally, it's fleshly, it's sensual, it's brutish, natural. It's of the flesh. And thirdly, it's demonic. It's of the devil. Now, I mentioned Christians have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it seems that they've conspired together to give us this worldly wisdom. This wisdom that sounds good, but is really worthless. You know, it's hard for us to fault worldly wisdom because it seems so natural. It's around us every day. And it looks like it works. I mean, those who arrogantly draw attention to themselves, those who deceptively cut corners, we see them get ahead. Like, it works at times. Their so-called success, unfortunately, is always mixed with evil, vile practices. They've made it, but they're morally compromised. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you're wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth around so that you look wise isn't wisdom. In fact, those things are the farthest thing from real wisdom. If you're trying to look better than others, if you're trying to get the better of others, what happens is everyone's fighting. Everyone's at one another's throats. It simply leads to disorder, which is exactly what's described there in verse 16. Now, this envy, certainly it can exist in the workplace. But man, we see it all throughout life. We see it in relationships. We even see envy in the church. Friend, if you can find it hard to rejoice in someone else's opportunity, if you grieve their success, if you rejoice in their difficulty, if you find it hard to share, well, then you are envious. And the Bible's telling us that that leads to evil practices. The results of the counterfeit wisdom are really clear in verse 16. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But James says there's a better way. We don't have to follow the wisdom of this world that just leads to this mess. Listen to this beautiful prayer in Psalm 119. Verse 36 says this, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Do you catch what he's praying there? Lord, help my heart between inclined to what you have said, to your word, and not to selfish gain. The psalmist is saying, Lord, as I open my Bible, change my heart, change my desires. So how do we get rid of this envy and selfish ambition that's so natural? Well, James tells us it's by gaining godly wisdom. We go to the Word of God and we look to receive heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. This is the next section in our passage. Look with me at verse 17. But the wisdom
from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. True wisdom, Scripture makes clear, comes from God. It's not just from the street smarts that surround us. And biblical wisdom, oh, it's valuable, it's good. As we heard earlier from Proverbs 8, listen to this verse. This is Proverbs 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. People are looking for wisdom in lots of places. They've got to find this guru. They've got to go find the person that's most successful in their career. The Lord says, oh, come to me. I'm the one who gives wisdom. James has already told us earlier in his letter. So back in chapter 1, verse 5, he said this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Well, what does that wisdom look like? We see it here in verse 17. This is a beautiful list, but the world scorns this list. But this is the real stuff. This is what real wisdom is. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, if you're the kind of person who likes 5-minute sermons, here it is. Are you ready? You need verse 17. This is the one you need to write down. This is what you need to memorize. Take verse 17 and turn it into a prayer list. Ask God to bring about this wisdom in your life. Ask God to produce this fruit in you. Look again. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, this kind of wisdom, it comes down from God. It's a gift from God. James told us back in chapter 1 that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. So why would we be looking for wisdom anywhere else? Of course, it comes from God. This gift is given through his word. It's given through his people. It's given through a life that's submitted to him. Let's look at this list together. First, we read that wisdom is above all pure. It's pure. That means it's clean. It's not polluted. It's not defiled or corrupted. It's holy, righteous, good. If you're trying to make a decision and you come to, okay, I think this is the wisest move, here's a great question to ask. Is whatever I think I should do, is it just obviously described as pure? Or do I think what's wisest involves cutting of some corners? Is there a little bit of deception here? If you can't say, oh, what's wisest is obviously pure, obviously holy, obviously good, well, then you know that you've bought into worldly wisdom. The wisdom from above is always pure. We're being called to a holy life. Next, we see that the wisdom from above is peaceable. That means it's considerate, it's kind. It's never harsh or self-serving. Really, here, he's contrasting verse 16. To be peaceable is not to be jealous and filled with selfish ambition. Not to have all this vile practice in our life. Also, we read that the wisdom from above is gentle. That means it's careful and patient. It's not overbearing, courteous, and considerate. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. The truly wise person, they're ready to hear what others have to say. They're teachable. They're not insisting that we have to do it my way every time. What is it you had to say? And they're listening. They're drawing you out. This is what a wise person looks like. Then we're told that the wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is full of mercy. Oh, we need to be those who are quick to be gracious, quick to forgive, just overflowing in our compassion. What James is calling us to here is what John writes about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Oh, wisdom, true wisdom, is to just be full of mercy and love. And to be overflowing in good fruits as well. Biblical wisdom produces good things in our life. Christians, believers, they're to be known for good works and for exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, this is what we need God to come and work in our lives. This is what only comes by means of the Spirit when His wisdom is granted to us. These are the fruits that heavenly wisdom bear. People who are faithful are also fruitful. God's wisdom, it doesn't leave our life empty. It makes it full. James is showing us this is how to have the good life. Again, the worldly wisdom would say, no, 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 come this way. Lie, cheat, steal, that's the way. And God says, no, there's a better way. The wisdom from above is impartial. Now, James has already dealt with this in his letter. It's the idea of not showing favoritism, never taking a bribe, a single-mindedness, a consistent life. The wisdom from above is also described as sincere, never faking it, not putting on a show. This is the idea of being authentic, real, genuine. This is the God-given stuff. This is what a truly wise person looks like. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christian maturity looks like. This is what we really need. We need humility and gentleness, mercy and love. And we can't do it on our own. We need God to work in us. This is what each of us should be aspiring to be, a person of biblical wisdom. James wants us as a church to grow up, to mature. He wants us to be wise. James longs for us to have the wisdom that comes from God alone. Now look at verse 18. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. These are the peacemaking qualities that produce righteousness. So think with me about what peacemaking is. Imagine two children, they're fighting over a toy. In that situation, what does peacemaking look like? They both want the toy. They're both convinced they have a right to the toy. Now, if parents aren't involved, how do they do it themselves? How do they solve this problem? What is peacemaking? Well, peacemaking happens when one of them surrenders their rights to the other. Not always, but often, peacemaking involves self-sacrifice. It doesn't look wise to the world, but in reality, it is truly wise. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, back in chapter 1, James said something different. Here's James 1, verse 19. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then here, chapter 3, verse 18, peacemaking does produce righteousness. In fact, it produces a harvest of righteousness. Not anger, but peacemaking is what we need. So I just want you to think with me about the last time you spoke evil of someone else. The last time you were angry with someone else, did that lead to a harvest of righteousness? No. Think with me, how are you doing in fighting against jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart? It's a struggle.
Do you resent someone else's gifting, someone else's opportunities? James would have us recognize our sin and repent. What a great gift of God. We can turn from our sin. We don't have to continue in these foolish paths. We can rejoice when someone else is given a promotion. We can congratulate them when they have a new opportunity. We can trust that God's in control. He knows just what he's doing as he governs the world. Yes, we think we might be entitled to that promotion. Yes, we think we need to have this or that. But we can trust God in all things. We need to replace the hellish worldly wisdom with what James has described as true, God-given, heavenly wisdom. What we really need is the wisdom from above so we can live wisely and humbly. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to do it. Wisdom is living the right way. We need the knowledge of Scripture to be wise, but more than just a book knowledge of what's in here. Oh, we need a life that's submitted to what God has actually said. And as we spend more and more time obeying the Lord, oh, we grow in wisdom. Listen to the words of Paul. This is Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each person look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Where do we see this wisdom most clearly on display? Well, it's in our Lord. It's in Jesus. I mean, just look back at verse 17. Does that not describe Jesus? Or is he better described in verses 14 through 16? Is Jesus the one who's jealous and has selfish ambition? Is he the one who's filled with every vile practice? Oh no. Jesus was pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason. He's merciful, impartial, sincere. Paul writes in Colossians 2 of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, Jesus, he was wise. He walked in wisdom. He did everything right. His life was a harvest of righteousness. But mankind, we've walked in unrighteousness. We look like verse 16. I mean, what a description of humanity. Is this not the world in which we live? Jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and every vile practice. Yes, that describes the human race quite well. And because of that, the Bible teaches that we deserve punishment. Every person you've ever met actually deserves to go to hell because of their sin. But God, in his great kindness, in his goodness, his mercy, he sent Jesus to live the perfect life, a wise life in our place, as our substitute, so that all who would trust in him and turn from their sins might be forgiven. Listen to how Peter summarizes this gospel message in just one verse. This is 1 Peter 3:18, a verse worth memorizing. Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You see, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can be forgiven. We can be made righteous. If you've yet to do that, you can do that right now. Let go of your sin and take hold of Christ. Trust in him and be made new. And if that's something that you're doing right now, or that's something that you've done decades ago, what that begins is a life of pursuing holiness, a life of pursuing the wisdom from above, the wisdom that's given by God. So brothers and sisters, keep seeking the wisdom of God. Cherish the promise that was given us at the beginning of the book. Again, James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, and we all do, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let's rejoice in the fact that God gives wisdom.
Let's take just a moment of silence to consider what God has revealed and ask God to make us wise. Lord, if we're honest, we see such folly in our lives. And yet we know that you are changing and maturing those who have trusted in Christ. Lord, we thank you that the all-wise one lived the perfect life in our place. And we thank you that we are being conformed into his image. To grow in wisdom is to grow in Christ's likeness. Indeed, he is the personification of wisdom. Lord, I pray for our church what Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.